Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. I want us to read, when you get there, please go with me up to verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, and we'll read through verse 39. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we're going to move into another direction. Coincidentally, I want to thank those that was with us last night, yesterday on the prayer wall. We had a nice turnout. We thank God for all of you that were able to make it out. Amen. Boy, the saints were singing, man. We walked. It was a wonderful time to walk with some other saints in the Lord as well from other churches. But I thank you and commend you for your labor of love of coming out on yesterday. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience." Somebody say patience. We're going to hear this word a few more times. "But you have need of patience, that after ye have done, say, the will of God, you might receive the promise." You hear that? He says, now you're going to have some patience. You got to have a need for some patience. Amen. After you have done the will of God, to receive the promise. So as you do the will of God, there's going to be some time before you receive the promise. And in that time, you got to have patience. We've been dealing with patience over the last few weeks, but you must have patience. Look what it says here in verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall what? Live by faith." You hear that? So you're living according to the will of God. Amen. You're living by faith. You do what it says. We walk by faith and not by sight. All right. We're living according to the will, but that which we desire according to God's word has not manifested in our lives yet. But he says, no, you got to develop some patience. Wait, because he's going to come and he's going to fulfill the promise. Amen. He's going to watch over his word to perform it. Amen. It goes on here. Look, verse 37 again. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." Somebody say that. The just shall live by faith. It goes on to say, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And we know the soul deals with the mind, the will, and the emotions. It depends on what context you're dealing with here. Look at verse 39. It says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto what? Perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to what? The saving of the soul." That's that word, the saving of the soul, is to the preserving and the keeping of the soul. Because we have been teaching, and I've taught in this house, that, see, when we get saved instantly in our spirit. My spirit man comes alive, and I get saved instantly in my spirit, but progressively in my soul. This is where we talked about over in James, and if we may go, we're going to go over to James, and we'll look at it when we go over to James, but we'll get over to James in a little bit. But what James talks about, laying apart all filthiness, all superfluity, obnoxiousness, we were there last week, and with meekness, humble ourselves, amen, and receive what? The engrafted word of God, which is able to do what? Save our soul. So our souls need to be saved. And we learn in our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions comprised of our soul, man. So we got a spirit, a soul, and a body. So in our, we say here in our spirit, man, we'll say instantly, amen. In the spirit, when we get saved, when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again, then shall we be saved. So we get saved instantly in the spirit. But again, we get saved, again, what we say, progressively in our soul. See, most of the issues that Christians have in their life are soulish issues. And we talked about how the soul likes to be entertained. The soul wants to do what it wants to do. But then we say that our body will get saved in the future. What we're saying is this body that we have, that we're going to get a new body. Amen. When we meet him, amen, in the air, we're going to get a new body. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. So what I want to do today, we're going to continue to move forward. And I want to speak from the subject. If you look at verse 38 again, 10 and 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." I want to read, speak on the subject today of living by faith, living by faith. Now, last week, we talked about it takes faith in Jesus. It takes faith in Jesus. And we began to show on last week, the Lord began to speak to my heart about us as a church and as individuals and as people, that the Bible teaches us about faith. We've been speaking about unity and that how we come together. But as we come together in unity, not only as a church, but as a husband and a wife, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we must come together in unity. And we declared a whole series dealing with the principles of unity. And you can go back and reflect upon that and build upon that. But he wants us to be united. Amen. There was even a song that we sung today. We're talking about being unified. And Brother George, you, Minister Twyman, encouraged us in that area of us being unified. But once we get unified, then God ready for us to move. But we can't move according to our intellect or to our flesh, but we got to move according to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God works with the faith of God. You know what I'm saying? So we walk not by sight, amen. We walk not by sight, by what we see, amen, but we walk by faith. And so the Lord has spoke to me and said, now I want you to teach the people or to instruct the people according to faith. For some weeks come up so that we can move. God wants us to do some things as a church, as you as individuals, you, your marriage and everything. But the way you're going to do it, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. Now, we talked about how Paul said that he says now we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. He says now we forget those things which are behind. We press towards what? The mark. The mark was what? Pleasing God. We press towards a mark for the prize. Amen. The prize was what? Winning Jesus of the high calling. And the high calling was being like him. It was sonship. Amen. This is where we're going. We want to become the sons of God. Amen. And the Bible says, but those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So our goal is to grow up in him. This is why our soul got to be saved. Amen. So that we can come into being sons of God. All of us to be the sons of God. We said last week that the Son of God became what? The Son of Man. So that the sons of men could become what? The sons of God. This is where we're going. We're growing. We're going up. He's not coming back for childish children. He's coming back for sons and daughters. Amen. Sons of God. And that's what we want to be like. We want to be like him. Amen. We not only want to win him. We want to please God. We want to win Jesus. And we want to be just like him. Amen. That's our goal. Our goal is to please God. And if we're going to please God, we got to be pleased with his son. Amen. That he gave. So I want us to see a few things here before we move forward today. Look at 11 and 1. We've already been here, but I just wanted to see this because today we're talking about living by faith. But we said now we identify what faith was last week, 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like to talk about faith as forsaking all, I trust him. I like to also say about faith, with my eyes, with my sight, I see. With my eyes, I see. But with my faith, I believe that which I cannot see. You hear what I'm saying? My faith causes me to believe that which I cannot see. Amen. But I can say it. Amen. Because my faith causes me to do three things we said last week. My faith causes me to do what? Say something. Amen. It causes me to what? Do something. And also what? Give something. And we seen that over in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, with the lepers, the 10 lepers, and how they said something. Jesus Christ instructed them. They did something. Amen. And then they gave. So only one came back and gave them something. And they gave God all the glory. And Jesus said this. Jesus says, your faith has made thee whole. So your faith is going to cause you to do something. It's going to cause you to say something. It's going to cause you to give something. And this is why we need to understand that we don't have misplaced faith. We need to understand who our faith is in. See, your faith is not just in something, but it got to be in someone, and his name is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. His name is Jesus. So look, let's look at a few things here. So we see again, 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 6, 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must what? Believe. You hear that? He must believe that he is, and he is a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we look at what we consider chapter 11 is what I consider the Bible, the hall of faith. You look all through 11 on your own. If you haven't read that, read that in your private time, and you'll see here the hall of faith, how people live by faith. Now look at chapter 12, verse 1. We were here last week. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Say, lay aside every weight. That weight we know is that thing that hinder, hurt, or harm us. And the sin, not the sins, but the sin. And we're dealing here with unbelief. See, because unbelief is the foe to faith. Because faith is really about belief and confidence and trust. That's what faith is about. So the opposite of faith is fear. And when you got fear operating, there is unbelief in the neighborhood. You hear what I'm saying? Doubt, fear, and unbelief. You hear what I'm saying? That's on that side of the ledger. So when doubt, fear, and unbelief is operating, that says that you're not in faith. Amen? So we see here, he says here then in verse 2, he says, now let me finish verse 1. He goes on and says, every weight and sin that so easily beset us or entangle us. And then he says, let us run. Somebody say, let us run. Now, first of all, he says, let us lay aside. And then he says, let us run. But he said, how you going to run? With what? Patience. There go patience again. We got to have patience in our life if we're going to fulfill the promises that God has for our lives. If we're going to not fulfill them, if we're going to receive them and experience them, amen. They've already been fulfilled, amen. He done made the promise to us. We just got to receive the promises of God. But he says, run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto who? Jesus. The what? Author and the finisher of our what? Faith. Okay, so this is where we understand that our faith is not just in something, but it's in someone. Because Jesus is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I'm not going to turn you over to Ephesians chapter 2, but Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 talks about how we were saved. We were saved by grace through what? Faith. By grace through faith. I've always taught the house that faith picks up what grace gives unto us. So it's through God's grace that he gave his only begotten son. It's through the grace. It wasn't by our works. Grace is the power, the equipment, the ability of God. It was through his grace that he gave his son on our behalf. But it was through our faith, our confidence, and our belief in trusting what God done that we picked up, amen, our salvation. Amen. And it says that we didn't do it through works, our own works. Because if we done it through our own works, we could brag and boast about it. But we didn't do it then. So we understand what I'm saying unto you, the foundation I'm trying to lay unto you is that faith is essential to our life. It's essential to the life of a believer. Not only did we get saved by faith, but we got to live by the faith that we got saved by. And so this is what I want to deal with, because our soul wants to keep us, amen, from walking in the fullness of what God has for us. And what I'm saying is God has something big for this house, for the people of this house, amen, for marriages. I'm telling you, for singles, for everybody that's here, God has something big for you. And we got to make sure that we're walking in what I call the God kind of faith, amen, and not in fear. The opposite of faith is fear. Doubt, fear, and unbelief. If they hanging around, you're not walking in faith, amen. And so we got not only walk by faith, but we got to live by faith. And you can get into the scriptures. Habakkuk 2 talks about living by faith. Romans 10 and 17 talks about living by faith. You can go Galatians 3 talks about living by faith. You can go all through the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, amen, talks about living by faith. And also the Bible talks about walking by faith. And that word walk deals everything with living, amen. So we must understand Paul was admonishing the church all through here that you got to walk by the faith that you got saved by. Someday we'll talk about the law and how faith and the law works together, amen, that basically we are no longer living according to the law, but we're living by faith, amen. We're living by faith now. So let's look at this thing here. I want us to go a little deeper and a little farther today, and we are talking about living by faith. I wanted just to us to get an understanding how important faith is unto us. It's essential to us as a believer. If you would turn back one book with me to the book of James. Go back to James. James chapter, when we get over here, I want to go to James chapter 2. I'm sorry, if you go to Hebrews, go forward one book. I'm sorry, we'll go forward one book. James chapter 2. When you get to James chapter 2, please go with me to verse 14 there. James chapter 2, 14. Last week I talked about how what we're teaching on, for some people, is new. For others, it will be review. But for everybody, it's going to be true. Amen. You can you can show count on that. Amen. For some of us, we hadn't heard this before. This is just new. What are you talking about, faith? Amen. For some of us, we know what faith is about, and it may be a revealing to you. But for all of us, it's going to be true. And it's something that we need to hear, because the Bible tells us faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we must continue to do this. We talked about there's a difference between the hearers and the listeners. Amen. There's some folks that's just listening to this. There's some folks that's going to hear it. And the Bible says we just don't want to be hearers only. James tells us that you got to be doers. Amen. And see, this is what faith does to you. Faith will cause you, when you hear something, your faith will cause you to do something. And before you do it, see, after you hear it, then you say it. Oh, my God, that's how you do it. I hear it because your preacher bring your faith to you. I know. I just go over to James. He said, it talks about how Romans talks about how is it going to come. How does faith come? It comes through the preaching of the word. How the preacher come? They be sent. Amen. And it talks about those beautiful feet of the preacher. You know how we talked about those feet. Amen. My, yeah. Yeah, I've been having some work with these days right here, though. Man, pray for the pastor's feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the pastor, one of the things that I'm responsible for is to feed you your faith. Amen. To feed your spirit, man. Amen. The word of God. And the word of God is which builds up your faith. Amen. And so you take what you what is taught to you. Amen. You take it and you hear it. Amen. And then you get it together. And after you hear it, you're going to say it. And once you start saying it, you're going to do it. And once you start doing it, I mean, it's going to cause you to do something and to give something. You hear what I'm saying? And this is what faith does. Faith causes us to move out of our past and not to stay in our present. But it moves us to our future. This is what faith. Faith is a forward action. I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Forward action. I trust him. Faith will move you forward. I'm telling you, faith will not allow you to stay where you're staying at, where you're at right now. I'm not talking about just a house or whatever, but in the state, the situation, the circumstance. I don't care if it's good, you still can't stay there either. You know, the Bible says that we live from faith to faith. From faith to faith, what he's saying is we live in faith alone. Faith alone. See, look, it takes faith alone, I'm telling you, to please God. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we want to please the Heavenly Father. Are we over here in the book of James? And I'm going to speak about some things that I have declared unto this house before. But the Lord has put me on an assignment to build our faith up as we move out of this year and as we go into next year. About what he's calling us to do as a people, as a congregation, as a church, because I believe he's going to speak some things to us, and we got to have faith to do it. You hear what I'm saying? And when you have faith, it's beyond us. It's beyond your intellect. It's beyond your emotions, but it speaks to the will of man. You hear what I'm saying? And this is what we're going to deal with today, because you got to understand that if you're living by faith, what kind of faith are you living in? You hear what I'm saying? You got to understand, what kind of faith am I living in? I done got saved, Pastor. This isn't a question about your salvation. This is a question about how you are living after you got saved. Because what I'm saying is the same faith that saved you. Think about this. When I got saved, the Bible says it was the Holy Spirit that draws man. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and he convicts us. I remember when I got saved, didn't nobody have to preach me down and stuff like that. I was convicted, man. I was tired of living the life that I was living. Amen. And I mean, I had things going on well in my life and I was still tired. I knew that there was something that just wasn't right in my life, and there was a void in my life, and there's a part of your life, no matter how you live outside of God, only God can fill that spot, that void in your life. No matter what you get, no matter what you obtain, no matter all of that place in God, amen, only he can fulfill that, and you'll have a longing in your life, amen. Was it something about, somebody said a scripture about that how we gain the world and we'll lose our own soul. We'll lose it. You don't want to do that. And so what I come to understand is it's the Holy Spirit that drew me to him, that drew me to him. And then I remember, boy, when I got drawn to him, I opened up the word of God, the Bible my mother had given me, and I read what it did I needed to do. If I would just confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, that word caused me to say something, Brother George. I began to say something, and then it caused me to do something. I remember when I first went to church on the other side of getting saved, man, the pastor, look, all I was waiting for him to make an altar call, because I'm saying, look, I want the world to know I'm saved. You hear what I'm saying? I got saved privately in my bathroom. I come to the Lord in my bathroom. I gave my, but man, when I got in that church, man, look, I wasn't one of those worried about who was going to see me. Now I'm waiting for him to just say, come to the altar. Man, I literally ran down there. I wanted the world to know that I've been saved. Saved for what? Saved from myself, saved from my sin, and saved from sickness. Amen. I needed to be saved. But what I'm saying is, it caused me to say something, it caused me to do something, and then it caused me to give something. I gave what? I gave my life. I gave my complete life to him, and I won't take it back. Now, I'm not going to be the one, as he was talking about over there, Hebrews 10, that's going to draw back. Draw back to what and go back to what? I'm going forward in him. I'm living my life of faith. And what I want to tell you that, see, as we get saved, we ain't got to live no boring, dull life as Christians. We are people, man, we're people of faith. We should be forward action. I'm trusting him. I'm moving forward in life. I'm going to experience everything that he desired for me to experience him. So living by faith. Now, there's three types of faith that James breaks down for us here. And I want us to be able to see these three types of things. I've taught on this in the past. And the Holy Spirit said, you got to put this back out again. It's three things here. I'm going to name them to you. The first type of faith that you can have is dead faith. Somebody say dead faith. Dead faith. Dead faith is when this is your intellect. It deals with your intellect. That's dead faith. We're going to break these things down. Dead faith deals with your intellect. The second type of faith you can have is demonic faith. Somebody say demonic faith. That's emotional type of faith. You hear what I'm saying? Well, you move by your emotions. That's demonic, man. God don't want you to be moved by your emotions. You're going to see that the devils was moved by their emotions. That's why it's demonic faith. And then the third type of faith that we can live by is dynamic faith. Somebody say dynamic faith. Dynamic faith deals with the will of man. You hear what I'm saying? It deals with the will of man. This is where we say no to ourselves and say yes to God. Amen? Yes to his will. Yes to his will, his way. Yes to his word. And so we're going to look at these three things. And in the context of James here in chapter 2, James deals with this and he shows us and he begins to speak to us about this type of faith. Now look over to verse, since we're over in the neighborhood, James chapter 1. We've been here before. But I'm not going to stay here long. We've been here before. It says, look at James 1 and verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word diverse is various, and it says temptation. See, when you deal with the enemy, he's going to try to tap you. Somebody say tap you. Yeah. The T, he's going to bring temptations and trials to your life. The A, he going to try to bring some afflictions, and the P going to be persecutions. Amen? That's the enemy. He trying to tap you all the time. All the time. When you living for Jesus Christ, when you got faith in God, amen, Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, he trying to tap into you all the time. The devil is. See, what I was explaining to you this morning, the enemy was trying to tap me. He was trying, you see what I'm saying? He was trying to enter into my life. And the way he'll come in through temptations and trials. Somebody say T&T. Temptations and trial. Dynamite, man. He'll come and try to bust you up through temptations and trial. The other way he'll come, he'll afflict your life. Somebody say afflictions. Yes, sir. The Bible says all those that live godly. Yes, sir. You're going to suffer some persecution and some afflictions in your life. And the third thing, somebody say persecutions. This is the way that the enemy would try to come. He wants to tap your life. Now, look what James said. James said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various types of temptations. He says, knowing this, and what he's talking about, being assured, being aware, and being absolute about this, knowing this, that the trying of your what? The trying of your what? So your faith is going to be tried, and so you got to know what you're living by. And if you're living by the wrong faith, I'm telling you, he's going to come in and take over your life. So not only, we've already said it takes faith in Jesus, because Jesus is our foundation. He is our author and the finisher of our faith. But the same faith that you got saved on is the same faith that you got to live by. And I'm telling you, if you don't live it, because your faith is going to be tried. Now, look what it goes on to say here. He says, knowing this, verse 3, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we gave this example, verse 4. But let patience have her what? Perfect work. See, because the trying of your faith is going to work, let your patience go to work. See, but we've seen over there in Hebrews, he says now you got between you, before you receive the promise, you're going to have some what? Some patience. So your patience got to be worked on. See, but this world tells us we can have everything right now. We live in the microwave age. Right now. And some of us don't want to wait in faith and trust God. We can speak it. We can proclaim it. We can declare. We can begin to walk in it. Even if we don't see it, we can't give up. See, this is about not so much doing as it is believing. See, when you believe, you will do. See, it's your doing does not bring you to believing. Your believing bring you to doing. See, because if it's about your doing, it's about work. So it's not about works. It's about believing that he's already done it. And if he's already done it and said it, now that's all I got to speak and say it. Amen. And it's going to call, because I believe it's going to cause me to do something. See, when you get frustrated, it's because you've been doing a lot of doing without believing. And then you're mad. You know, you're all upset. Why ain't it happen now? Nah, but I'm going to believe. Amen. And my believing is going to cause me to do the doing. It's like this. It's like you can't go to work before you do the worship. If you put work before worship, amen, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to be hard to get along with. I'm talking about the work of God. I ain't talking about your job. You can put your job in there too, because he says do everything unto the Lord, amen. Before you go to that what's called, you need to get you some worship, amen. So worship, proskuneo, kiss God, spend some time with God. And when you have worship, it will cause you to do the work of the Lord, amen. But if you just do the work without worship, I'm telling you, you're going to be hard to get along with. You're going to be hard, but we want to worship God because, again, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning, the end, and everything in between. Amen. Because Hebrews says, consider him who endured such contradictions. You know what I'm saying? And for the joy of the Lord, before the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know what I'm saying? He died. But he died in faith. He knowing what God was doing. Amen. And the same kind of faith that Jesus Christ have is the same type of faith that we want to have. Because we want to be just like him. We want to be a son that pleases our father. Amen. That's what we want to do. We want to please our father. So let's look at these three types of faith here. The first one here, I've already talked to you about how faith is certainly essential element of our walk. And if we're going to live by faith, we got to understand what kind of faith that we're living by. We talked about dead faith, demonic faith, and dynamic faith. We're going to look at the three of these today, all right? Look with me in two. Let's move over to chapter two again. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. We're going to read through verses 14 through 17, and we're going to look at the first one here. The dead kind of faith, it deals with the intellect and the mind. Somebody say the intellect, the mind. Amen. It says, what do it profit, my brother, though a man say, somebody say, say. See, there's one thing to say something, Brother Jordan. Real faith, you see what I'm saying? Dynamic faith going to cause you to do more than just say something. You got to say something, and then you got to do something. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to back up. You know, you got to have the walk and the talk. Amen. You can't just have the talk without the walk. Amen. Because if you got the talk without the walk, that's a dead kind of faith. Look what he says here. He says, what do it profit, my brother, though a man say that he have faith and have not works? You hear that? He says, can faith save him? This is the question. Can faith alone save? We're talking about the saving of the soul, the preserving, the keeping of the soul. Can faith just do it alone? Look what he said. Now, he goes on to say, he says, now, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what do it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is what? Dead. What? Being alone. So faith without works, or faith alone, amen, we see here is a dead kind of faith. He gives example. He says, now, what if a brother or sister come to you destitute and in need, and you got it to give, but you say, oh, go and be blessed, and go this, that, and the other. He said, now, what if faith without works is going to be not? What he's saying now, you got faith that something's going to happen to them, that things going to be happening, but you also got the ability to do it. So he says, well, how is faith without works is dead? You're telling them, oh, be going Godspeed, be good. We hope you get that. We pray for you. But if you got the ability to do it, he said, you got to have more than just faith. You got to do more than just say something, because if you just say something and don't do anything, that's dead faith. Somebody say dead faith. Dead faith. You don't want no dead faith. Amen. So you got to back up what you're going to be saying here. And so he gives this example again, and he said, now, he said, if they don't do it, this is just like this. It's just like, again, let's pick it up in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what do it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Being by faith by itself is dead. It's dead. It's alone. It's dead. He said, nah, your faith, you got to have some works that come along with your faith. And see, when we know who we believe in, when our confidence, our belief, and our trust is in Jesus Christ, when we know who we believe in, not only will we say something, but we would do something. We would do something because our goal is to please. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please the Father. Please God. We want to please God. So we deal here with dead faith. So what does this dead faith kind of look like? It's the substitutes of the words for the deeds. This is what we're talking about. Substitutes the words for the deeds. They may have the correct vocabulary for prayer and sound doctrine. They may come with the right Bible verse and all of those things. But the bottom line of it is that their walk do not line up with their talk. You know what I'm saying? See, look, man, I've known folks that could quote scriptures up and down, man, all around, but their life did not line up with what they were talking about. They weren't walking what they were talking. And that's what you call dead kind of faith. Amen. And so we're talking about living by faith. See, you got to, again, see, the same faith that saved you is the same faith you got to live by. And the question is, what are we living by? I taught a message some time ago, words that we live by. See, because faith comes by the word of God. Amen. And so you got to live according to the word of God, but you just can't say it. You got to do it. You got to do this types of thing here. So we see here, and so this deals with the intellect. This is the intellectual type of person. This is just an intellectual faith. Amen. They can talk a good talk, but they don't walk the walk. It's an intellect thing. It's a mind thing. You know, I know the scriptures. I know the doctrine of Christ. I know these types of things. I can quote scriptures day and night, but I'm not living it out in my life. It's an intellectual type of thing. See, it's like this. See, they know about salvation, but they have not trusted God fully and wholeheartedly in their particular lives. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying, they know about it, but they have not submitted themselves to the one that they know about. That's a dead kind of faith. All right, I know how to live right, but I ain't living right. I know who should be Lord of my life, but they ain't Lord of my life. You say, I know it, but I'm not living it. See, this is an intellectual type of thing. This is a dead kind of faith. Amen. And see, dead faith produces dead works. Don't want me to go back over to Hebrews chapter 6. But it talks about, let us leave the elementary, the rudimentary things, amen, and let us move on into perfection or maturity over in Hebrews chapter 6. And then it says, where we leave from, it says moving from, listen, repentance from dead works. And then it says faith towards God. See, dead works come through dead faith. It's a dead work. It's a dead work. And so we see here that we want to make sure that we know the right, not only know the right words, but we have the right works to back up the words. Amen. The right works to back up the words of God. Amen. So we're not going to major on the dead kind of faith. Amen. I don't think any of us want to be there. We don't want to have this dead kind of faith. Amen. So let us look here. Let's move forward and look at the second type of things, the type of faith that we can live by here. And it's just two scriptures, scriptures, verse 17 and 18. He says, even so faith. He's still on the subject of faith. If it have not works, is dead being alone. Let's pick up verse 18, okay? 18 and 19 here. We're going to move into this other type of faith here, what I call the demonic faith here. He says, verse 18, yea, a man may say that thou have faith and I have works. Then he says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And we know our works is, again, to do something, to say something. Now look at verse 19. He says, thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. He says, the devils also believe and tremble. You hear this? Now, the first type, the dead type of faith, He knew of God, but he didn't believe in the God that he knew about. And did not submit himself. This demonic faith is having the ability to even believe. It's you move in no time, an emotional type of thing. They believe. The Bible says that the devil, they believe and they do what? Tremble. Look at that right there. He said they believe and they tremble here. Look at it again. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Then he says what? James says, thou doest well. He said, you do well. He said, then he says, but the devil, they also believe and tremble. And so we're talking about a demonic kind of faith here. They believe in God. They're not antichrist. They're not agnostics. They believe in the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They believe in his existence. They believe in a place of condemnation. They believe that Jesus will also be their judge. Amen. They have also the dead kind of faith as well. They're intellectual, but they move into this thing where they move from their intellect just to their emotions. See, we're talking about the soul of man, the mind, the will, and the emotions. We dealt with the mind, dead faith, right? Demonic faith deals with the emotions of a person. You know, they get excited about things. They get here. But the Bible says that the devil believe and tremble. He said, now you do well by believing, but the devil also believe and tremble. So there's one thing to believe. Amen. You see what this thing going is about. Are you really doing something for God? Amen. This is where we're going to. Now, check this thing out here. Now, the demons are touched. Demons are also touched because we see here by their emotions. And we can be emotional people. we can be very emotional people. I've counseled people that had intellect. They knew about God. They even believed God, and they had some emotion. They would cry and do all of that, but they were still not living for God. See, what I'm saying is, what we're talking about here, what we're leading into, Elder, is do we have a saving kind of faith? Do we have a faith that is able to save our soul, to keep our soul, to preserve our soul? Do we have that? Do we have the stuff that sticks in our lives? And someone that has demonic type of faith, they don't have that. See, this is a person that they have been enlightened in their mind and they've been stirred in their heart, but they're still going to be lost forever. True faith involves something more, something that can be seen and recognized. See, this is true faith. See, true faith, the fruit of true faith is a changed life. Somebody say a changed life. It's a when you truly have faith in God, your life has been changed. I'm talking about you ain't just talking and you know, you're saying one thing, but you're walking another way. Or even you say that you believe and you're emotional. Look, man, I done been in churches and been through, y'all done live long enough. Some of y'all super saints have been around for a little while. You done been in church and folk, boy, they can cut up, they dance, they emotional. They do all of that and they walk right out that door and go back to doing what was contrary to God. That's a demonic type of faith, Brother George. See, not only are they dealing with a dead faith, they're dealing with their intellect. You know, they know what's right, but they ain't living right. See, they know this now. Now they took it to another step. They believe, but it's an emotional type of thing. And we know what the word tells us about the seed, how the seed is planted. Now, if it's planted on this ground, that ground, that ground, you know what I taught you about the seed of the word of God? It got to do what? Get in. And once it get in, it got to do what? It got to get down before it can what? Come up. See, emotional folks, the word don't stay down. It don't stay down. It can't stay down. It don't stay down on them. Nah. And that's why it can't come up, because it can't never get planted in their life. See, somebody with a dead faith, it fall by the wayside. Amen. And says the enemy comes and snatches up immediately. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They can't even do anything with it. And so we're seeing here, we're talking about really a saving kind of faith. See, because you got to understand, what kind of faith am I living by? Am I living by a dead type of faith? Oh, I know the word. I can quote it. I can read it. I just won't do it. I'm just not doing it. My walk is not lining up with my talk. That's a dead kind of faith. A demonic type of faith, though, it takes it a little bit further. it don't just deals with the intellect. It now you're moving in, it's emotional now. You know, I believe, and I can get excited about it. I can come up and raise my hand in the house of the Lord. I can get emotional. I can cry. I can come to the altar and do all of that. And I can get right back up and go out those doors and live a life that is contrary to God. Now, isn't that demonic? Don't that sound demonic? It sounds like they possessed with something else, somebody that can do that. I'm telling you, people can do it with the best of them. They can dance the same time, the same week. See, that's the devil. You can, yeah, it just gets the money. You know, I know they get ready to cut up right now. Yeah, we on the second song. It's what? Yeah, they get ready to cut up. It's emotional. Their walk with God is an emotional walk. And there's nothing wrong with us crying. I'm not saying all of that. I'm just saying, but there are folks that can do all of that and can still get up out of here and go live contrary to the faith, amen, that God has given unto them of having faith in his son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, you first receive life, and then you reveal the life that you receive. And folks that are walking up under this demonic faith, they're not revealing the life that they have received. They're revealing an emotional life, a life that they have. Now, I want to ask you, do you have this kind of faith? Amen. See, because this is not just about believing right and feeling right, but this is about doing right. You see what I'm saying? Demonic faith says you can believe right and you can feel right. I'm living my walk through my feelings, and that's a dangerous place to live in, you know. And so intellectually, you could be adhering to the right doctrine, but emotionally, you can be attending the worship services and all of that, but still, you're not walking by a saving faith, a faith that's able to save your soul. And that's what I call the dynamic faith. This is the thing that we're going to deal with here as we close, a dynamic faith. Pick up in verse 20 here, a dynamic faith. Verse 20 says, but with thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Yeah, that's the third time. He kept using this. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. He keeps saying that. Verse 21. Then what I like about him, he began to use two people here. Let's read through verse 26, and then we'll come back and look at it. Verse 20, it says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made what? Perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called what? A friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by what? Faith only, or faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead also. Amen. Faith without works is dead also. Now, we heard Pastor Angela say this morning at the very outset of what's come that we're to enter into God's rest because he finished the work at the beginning of time. Amen. And did he not? And he went into his rest. And essentially, Pastor Angela was dead on the work that was finished. Jesus Christ also talked about that, how he came to finish the work. Amen. He completed the work. The work of salvation has been done. Amen. It's a done thing. And I always talk to you about this. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. You hear what I'm saying? It's the same thing with water baptism. I don't do water baptism to get saved, but no, I get water baptized because I got saved. You hear what I'm saying? And so it's one of those things. Water baptism is sequential. Amen. It's a sequential thing. It comes after our salvation, and we do it because we got saved. Amen. But the same thing with works here, because I want us to understand that the works we're talking about are not works to get saved. We're not working our way to salvation. That's already been dealt with. Amen. We just receive that. And now that we have got saved, amen, we do the works. Amen. We do the work. It's called the labor of love. Amen. It ain't even really work to us. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? I want to do this. Amen. Because I'm saved. I'm going to do this because I'm saved. See, I'm spirit led now. I'm not living by the law. I'm not having to do this, and this. No, I'm saved. And I'm living by faith in the spirit of the living God on the inside of me, gonna cause me to treat people nicely, gonna cause me to see somebody if they don't have it and I got it to give it to them, no matter what condition they in. But the Lord has moved upon my heart, so I'm living a spirit-filled life now, but I'm living that life by faith, not by what I see. Amen. See, because when you see something, your emotions can outlook. Oh God, how many of us can get all jacked up when you see something? Oh no, she didn't. Oh no, he didn't. You done seen something. Amen. And see, that tells us where we're at in our faith, because we can get moved emotionally and do something that's not godly in our life. Amen. And it shows that, man, I'm still rolling in this demonic level of faith. Now, see, I don't want to have no dead faith. I don't want to have no demonic faith, but I want to have some dynamic faith, some faith that's able to save my soul, some faith that's able to keep me from doing what I should not do, keep me from looking where I should not be looking, keep me from taking what I should not be taking. I need a dynamic kind of faith to operate in my life. And so we see the writer here, he breaks this thing down. He uses two people that's on the opposite end of the spectrum. He uses the man of faith, Abraham, the father of faith. And then he takes a prostitute, Rahab, all the way over here on the other end of the spectrum. And he's going to say, I'm going to show you what faith will do for a prostitute as well as for the man of God. Faith saved that woman. That faith kept her. Yeah, it sure did. Faith done those types of things. So let's take a look at this real quick here. This is the dynamic kind of faith. It's not the dead intellectual faith. It's not the demonic faith, which involves the mind and the emotions or the intellect. But the dynamic faith takes us beyond the intellect, the emotions, but it brings us into dealing with the will within our soul, the mind, the emotions, and the will. Now, I've always taught you, and we know this in the house of the Lord, that the Lord thy God, I preach this word, and I always talked about how the Lord thy God, he places ministers in the house to rule over. The Bible speaks about that, about the rule over. But how I rule over you is through the word of God. You know, I taught some time ago that how the rule is the measure of rule, the measuring stick, the ruler. The word is the ruler. And I put out the ruler, I rule over you through the ruler. But the same measure of rule that I rule over you is the same ruler that's over me. You know what I'm saying? So I might lift it out there, but I got to examine myself to see if I'm still in the what? Faith. Am I in demonic faith? Am I in dead faith, demonic, or I am dynamic faith? You know, am I just dealing with this thing from an intellect in my mind, or I'm dealing with this, my walk in my emotions, or I'm really dealing with the will, my will, where I'm allowing God, what I'm allowing God to override my will, what I'm saying that I'm choosing to do his will, I'm choosing to deny myself, I'm going to choose to do right for God, amen? I'm not only going to have faith in him just by hearing his word, but I'm going to be a doer of his word, and I'm going to have, my work is going to line up with the person that I live for. And I live for him. See, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. And we'll know that if we're the son of God or we're the son of the devil, you'll know this just by the lives that we live. Are our lives contrary, amen, to the things of God? And if it's contrary to God, I will submit unto you, you're living for the enemy. You're living for the devil. You're living in another camp, amen. But we all want to have this dynamic type of faith here. Amen. So dead faith touches the intellect. Demonic faith touches the emotion. But the dynamic faith touches the will of man. It touches the will of man. It's like this. The mind understands the truth. The heart even rejoices in the truth, but the will acts upon the truth. You hear what I'm saying? So we're talking about the will of man. We want to act upon the truth that we hear. We just don't want it to be emotionally. We just don't want it to be intellectually. Like, oh, I learned something new today. I'm going back to work on Monday and share with someone the scriptures that I knew, that I've learned and everything. But it's a sad thing. You're giving them revelation or understanding of the scripture that you got some understanding of it, but you're not living it. You telling folk about scriptures and everything, and them folks is out there in the world, you know what they're looking for? They looking to see if that word that you talking about working in your life. Yeah. They really looking for that. Yeah, they really looking for it. They really looking for this thing. So we want to have this dynamic type of faith that impacts the will of us as men and women of God, that will cause us to act on the word that we heard. It calls us to walk this thing out and begin to do it. So let's look at this as we begin to close this thing out here. Verse 21, it says, here go the example. Was not Abraham, you hear that? He's using Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? You can study that out in your time. You know what happened. God told him to go give his son, to give him up. He went and put him on that altar. You know what he did? He did it by faith. He went up that mountain. He got them sticks together. Even the son was even asking, well, who's going to be the person to lay up there on the land? He said, God going to provide, son. God going to provide. Yes, he sure did. He did that by faith, man. He walked up that thing, man, and he laid. You know what happened? He looked around. He laid his son up in there and strapped him down. I know, man, this thing was bothering in his heart, but he was living by faith. And he put that knife up there and went to go down there, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Said, look over there. And looked over there, and there was a ram in the bush. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? See, the Bible says he was justified by his faith through his works. He won't just say something. God told him to go sacrifice his son. And he went up to do that. There's one thing for temptations to come, but then there's going to be some, but your faith is going to be proven and tried by God. God's going to try your faith. He's going to see if you're a true son of God. He's going to see if you got dead faith, demonic faith, or do you have dynamic faith? Oh, we all going to be tried. The devil going to try us. Amen. He always, he's tempting us, afflictions and persecutions. But James said, well, rejoice, be glad in all of that. Because then you let patience kick in. Now, let's look here. So we see here Abraham, verse 22, he says, see thou how faith wrought with what? Works, or combined with his works, and by works was faith made what? Perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said what? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for what? Righteousness. And he was called what? The friend of God. Well, how did he believe God? God told him that he was going to provide. But he did everything that God said. He believed. He believed not just by saying something, but by doing something. And this is how that God knows that we believe. We're going to do what his word says do. We're not just going to get emotional about it. We're not just going to get intellectual about it. We can quote it and all this, that, and other. But no, we're going to do it. We're going to do what his word says do. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not what? By faith alone. So faith and work. Likewise, also was not Rahab who? The harlot? Justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. You know what happened when the people of God were coming and they came to her house, and Rahab was a harlot, and she hid the men of God. She said, y'all go here, there, and the other. And she hid them so that they could come into the place that they're there. And they told her, if you don't tell them what they're, they say, what you, that when we come to destroy the whole city, you're going to be saved. And you know what happened, right? It was saved because she believed. She knew. She knew when they come. She knew these were the men of God. She knew that they were true men of God. She wasn't trying to put no trick on them. See, a holler to put a trick on you in a minute. You know what I'm saying? She said, nah, I ain't going to try to fool the men of God like this. She said, I believe that you're the true men of God. And yeah, I'm going to protect you and keep you. And they said, if you do what you say you're going to do, you and your whole household is going to be saved. And so she not only had faith in it, she did what she said she would do. Faith with works will keep you, will save you. It's the saving of the soul. You know what I'm saying? So our soul got to get saved. How does my soul get saved, Pastor? Because I'm saved instantly in the spirit, progressively in the soul. How you get saved in your soul is you do what God's word says do. You just don't be intellectually about it. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know the word. You just don't be emotionally about it. Amen, but you walk that thing out. I walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Because if I look at my sight, my emotions going to get all in it. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to do something crazy, dumb, stupid. I'm going to do something to try to make this thing work on my own because I'm emotionally attached to it. Oh, my God. We can't be emotionally attached to this thing. You can't let your emotions control you. So I'm not going to walk by what I see. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And when I walk by faith and not by sight, faith going to cause me to say something. I speak those things that are not as though they were. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to take God's word. I'm going to proclaim God's word over my situation, over my circumstance, what God wants for me. I'm going to declare that word. Amen. And then I'm going to let patience have her perfect work. I'm going to let patience, well, now while I'm waiting, I'm letting patience have a perfect work. Amen. Because the Bible tells me, look back over here. Look back over here, James 1. Look what it says here. Look what it says. He says, but 1 and 4. Look at this right here. He says, but let patience have a what? Perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect and entire what? Wanting nothing. Oh, my God. So when I let patience have a perfect work, Sister Sarah, I let patience have a perfect work, I get into a place of what Pastor Angela talked about, rest. I'm in the rest of God. I ain't worried about it. I done said what I needed to say about it. I declared his word. I'm going to do what he told me to do. And after I do what he tells me to do, what I'm going to do, mother, I'm going to rest. Because it says let patience. See, that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to speak it and then get in and wait for it. And then that's when we get emotional about it. That's when we, you know, this thing ain't working. I've been talking, it ain't working. No, you get away. He said, because let patience have a perfect work. And then it says that the man of God would be what? Entire. Entire means complete. Entire wanting what? Nothing. See, so this is how it works. So now when you wait in patience, Brother George, instead of you going for it, when you get ready, it's going to come to you. It's like metal to a magnet. You ain't working for nothing. You standing in faith. I'm believing that I receive. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to stand on faith in this thing. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And then I know I got to let patience have a perfect work so that the man of God could be entire, completed, and what? Wanting nothing. See, I ain't going to want nothing because it's going to want me. When I have faith in God and my desire is to please God, what father will hold back anything from a son that pleases him? I stand any man up that got a child, that got a son and a daughter. Which one of you will hold back something from your children when they please you? The same type of God. We're made in the likeness, in the image of the Father. He says, if a evil man, wicked man, know how to give good gifts unto his children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give unto them that do what? Ask. Oh, man, when you got faith, it causes you to say something, it causes you to do something, and it's going to cause you to give something. The question is what kind of faith do you live by? Are you living by a dead faith? Are we living by a demonic faith? Are we living by a dynamic faith? A dynamic faith is a faith that we say that we're going to live contrary to our mind, our emotions, and even our will. We're going to do what he says do. You hear what I'm saying? Let's close our Bibles and put our hands together. Hallelujah.